Imagination fuel. Okay, it is official. Today is episode 10 of the podcast.
Yay!
We've made it this far. And today we're going to be continuing on our Disney review timeline with...
Melody Time and the Adventures of...
Ichabod and Mr. Toad. So I've heard of Ichabod and Mr. Toad before, which is obviously from the ride in Disneyland. I don't think it's in Disney World. I think it's just in Disneyland. I think we should talk about that more when we talk about the movie. I've never heard of Melody Time until we watched it.
Yeah, I haven't heard of actually any of them. I didn't even remember the ride until you said something.
Okay, we only went to Disneyland around 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm surprised I didn't remember. No, even less. It was 2.5 years ago during a March break, but it's fine. So we're going to do today a little bit differently than we normally do. We've been changing a lot how we do things since the beginning, more and more each time.
Trying to figure out what works best in our podcast.
Yeah. So this time we're not going to be doing grades anymore. Well, we don't know if we're never going to do it ever again, but at least for today, just to see. Because I found that a lot of our conversation was revolved around the numbers, and that was taking away a lot from what we had to talk about because we felt that we had to keep on a strict timeline of talking about the number grades.
Yeah.
As well, we were constantly saying that the number that we gave right after we were watching the movie, or sometimes while we were watching the movie, is quite different to how we felt once we sat on the movie for a bit and thought about it a bit, and then a week later we record the podcast and then we change our views on it.
It's also really hard to convert all our notes into different sections, like plot, in my mind. Like, I don't
exactly,
because when I'm taking my notes, I'm not thinking about it in each individual section. I'm just thinking as a conversation, which I think will be way much more helpful in this.
And there's a lot of points, or not necessarily points, just stuff that I'd like to talk about when we watch each movie that isn't necessarily fitting into one category. And I don't really like categorizing things that don't have categories.
Yeah, because sometimes I have so much notes for plot and I only have one for importance. So it'll be, which is not exactly good because I'm talking about plot a lot and not about importance.
Because some movies, especially with the categories we chose, I almost wish we didn't do it like that because importance is such a weird category now that I think about it. And I think the only reason that I wanted to have that category in the beginning, important / memorableness, the word that we can never say, if that's even a word. Where was I going with this?
Something about...
Oh, yes. Having that category is a bit weird. And the only reason I wanted it to happen was so when we got to the Renaissance movies, The Lion King and such, that because that would obviously be a 5 because that's so influential. When we did Snow White, obviously it was a 5. I don't know. I was just figuring out how to do stuff during Snow White. I don't think I graded that one properly either. And we didn't even speak about it properly. We only talked for 11 minutes. We did not go into anything into depth. That was rough. We'll forget that episodes exist. I'm glad that we're getting rid of this categories, and this should be interesting. Should we talk about what we're doing next as of 2 weeks from now, or should we talk about it at the end?
Let's save it for the end.
Save it for the end. Okay.
Okay, so we're starting off with Melody Time.
What a forgettable piece. That's that's how I would take Melody Time as a whole.
Yeah. The only thing that I liked is the paintbrush. The paintbrush was pretty cool, how it painted each scene before it happens. It was the one thing that tied all the individual stories together.
Nothing else tied together. And there were so many weird individual stories. So maybe we should, for the listener, give a brief outline of it, of the movie.
Okay.
It's a lot like stuff like Fun and Fancy Free and a few of the other older Disney movies that we've been talking about over the past month or so. It's just a bunch of tinier stories that all conclude in their 20-minute segments. Mm-hmm. And all the tiny 20-minute segments not necessarily have anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that Disney seemed to be doing a lot about those. Imagine if they released one now.
That'd be kind of weird. But it seemed to be working for them back then, because they keep on making more of them.
Yeah.
Like that, so
I have no idea what money they were making on these. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they were released in theaters.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good question. Probably were, but...
Most likely. You would think so.
Mm-hmm. But I'm currently reading a... I think I mentioned this last time about... I'm reading a book about the history of film, but it's not... I have another book about the history of film, but I'm currently reading one that just is supposed to talk about every movie ever made and, like, the important ones of each year. Uh-huh. Not everyone, but they'll talk about everything that's important. And a lot of the movies, of course, I haven't heard of because I haven't really watched any silent film,
mm-hmm.
which I think that I would be interested in some of it, but I haven't been exposed to it yet. But they didn't bring, even when I think right now I'm in 1947 or 8 because the book is by year.
Yeah.
None of the movies, like Fun and Fancy Free, Melody Time, have ever been talked about. They talked about Dumbo, Pinocchio.
Yeah.
I don't think they talked about Fantasia and Snow White. So it seemed that the movies that were important then and people liked then, or at least the authors seem as important, are also the only ones that are important now.
Yeah, and also not a lot of people think about those movies. In fact, I had no idea what the title was. So it might have been really working for them back then, but now it's not really working for them.
Exactly. And going back to the whole category thing, the fact that we had an importance category is a bit naive because we weren't around in 1940, yeah. whatever. So we don't even know the impact it may have had on, like, toys. And because mm-hmm. now that seems to be all what Disney is about. It seems that they've forgotten their love of storytelling and is more interested in making money recently.
I don't think I agree with that, but...
Okay, well, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, a lot of YouTube videos, and that's what the general consensus is because, I don't know if we may actually go through this in a future podcast. I hope we do. There was a documentary recently released on Disney Plus about the making of Frozen 2. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it was my opinion, and it's also a bunch of other people's opinion, that Frozen 2 isn't exactly as good as the first one, just because the plot is a bit confusing and it's vague.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that I really want to credit him, because I listen to him a lot, but I can't say his name. It's like Shaliferous Productions. His profile picture, is, or whatever you call the icon in YouTube, is the crab from Moana, so... Shout out to him, because he does really good stuff.
Yeah.
He was talking about it, and he was saying that one of the main reasons is because it was vague. I'm not actually going to go into his video. He explains everything very well.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have enough time. Like, the writers didn't have enough time to let it sit and think about it, and the stories and the characters and how everything makes sense. Like, they were still changing things 8 months before the release date. They were still changing scenes and changing lines.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't want to push it back, even though they should have, because it was supposed to be released during Christmas. It didn't end up being released for Christmas season in late November. And they didn't want to push it back because it's such a marketable season, because everyone wants to see Frozen during Christmas. Of course they do.
Yeah.
And another thing that Shimmer Productions... The guy with the Moana crab is his icon. Seriously, check him out. He's really good. One other thing that he said is it's kind of the Good Dinosaur's fault, mm-hmm. which I cannot stand the Good Dinosaur.
I don't really like the movie either.
I thought that when I watched it, I was like, I really hope this isn't one of those movies that everybody talks about and likes, and the teachers come and they rent them on DVD and bring them into the classroom and their TV mm-hmm. trolley and make all the kids watch. I'm like, I really hope this isn't that movie, like The Lorax is, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, this is so weird, and there's so many weird parts, and it was just, it wasn't a vague, that wasn't the plot issue, it was just kind of plotless and not memorable. Wow, I totally went on a tangent there. Mm-hmm. You're just standing there like, uh-huh. They didn't want to push it back because The Good Dinosaur also had plot issues when they were writing it, so they had to push it back. And it was supposed to be released in summer, and that was supposed to be their big summer release, but then they had to push it back because of issues, I don't know if they lost money, but they missed out on a huge opportunity to have a Pixar movie released in summer. So I assume, and Shiver Productions also assumes that it was because that's why they didn't want to move Frozen 2. So that's what I'm saying, that they chose money and marketing and choosing to have a movie released in the winter time when it's most marketable over having a good story.
I see that point.
You should really check out his video. I'll send it. It's not too long.
Okay. Anyways, back on to Melody Time.
Yeah, the original point of this.
Yeah, so there's many different stories in it. I'm just going to point out one of them is the Johnny Appleseed story.
Yes.
That one really kind of like came to me in a different way because when I was growing up, my mom and I always sang that before bedtime, and it was kind of cool to see that. I don't know if that's actually what happened. I don't really know.
My question is if that song is originally from that movie and you were singing the song from that movie.
Yeah.
Or the movie took that song from somewhere else.
I don't know. I was like, when he was starting to whistle the song at the very beginning, I was like, no, could that be? Wait, and then he started singing out loud. I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And that was really cool.
I didn't think it was that cool, but it happened.
Well, yeah, it happened, but it was cool to me because I know that.
Throwback to your childhood.
Yeah, it was cool to see that.
Okay, well, at the beginning of... Wait, what happened at the very, very beginning? I don't even remember.
The very beginning...
Johnny Appleseed was not
the
first.
The paintbrush, yeah. The paintbrush.
Oh, yeah, the Dairy Queen lips showed up. That's what I thought it was going to be like, the way that they painted the mouth. And I'm like, oh my goodness, the mouth is talking. It looks like the Dairy Queen commercial. We are not sponsored. Trying to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I was so scared at that point that it would be just like Fantasia.
If it was like Fantasia, that'd be so...
Even said that out loud because I'm like, oh my goodness, we have somebody narrating something and it's clearly going to be one of those multiple segment movies.
The narrator? I did not like the narrator. It was pointless.
Yes, we talked about narrators in a previous episode about how it.
I'm going to talk about
kind of makes up for lack of good writing.
Well, I'm going to talk about the narrator more in The Adventures of Mr. Toad, and
I don't think they were the same narrator, were they?
No, but it was still a narrator. I'm going to talk about it later in there. But
you have a frustration about narrators in general, not that specific narrator
for this Disney. These two movies.
I understand.
Like, narrators are fine. I'm not so picky on them like you are.
I get so frustrated.
Unless it's a
character doing a voiceover, like, that's fine. I won't get annoyed for that. But just a narrator for the sake of being a narrator is so obnoxious to me. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think the only time that worked really well is in the Maleficent movie. Oh, I'm so excited for when we talk about it. I love both of them so much. Mm-hmm. But the first Maleficent movie, when it's revealed that the narrator at the very, very, very end was Aurora the whole time as an older person.
Yeah.
I love that. That just worked and it clicked. This, uh-huh. they didn't... I knew that wasn't going to happen.
But Disney is not focusing really on their narrators in these movies. It's more of the stories. To me, it's not in their art, in their, ink and painting sort of thing. I don't think they're, focusing
on... I'm confused what you're saying.
I'm saying that I don't feel like they're really focusing on the narrator that much.
Well, of course not. The narrator is supposed to focus on the other stuff. It's the whole point.
You don't really understand what I'm saying.
I'm saying there's no... They wouldn't have the big plot reveal, at the end of Maleficent because the narrator isn't that important into the plot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm not going to really be that mad at the narrator, I think, even though I didn't think it should be in there.
I'm not angry. It's just... It annoys me.
Disney, I don't really think, spent time on the narrator.
And yeah, that wasn't their...
It was more on the artwork and the storytelling, and that's why I like these old Disney movies.
Okay. I forget what the first scene was, what the first story was. I remember some of the stories, but I don't remember which order they were in. Mm-hmm. But it just occurred to me when watching this movie that we're going to have to do Christmas movies. Because I totally forgot that Disney even has Christmas movies.
I didn't even know they had Christmas movies.
They do. And the beginning of this one felt Christmassy. I forget why. I think it was just the books and the fireplace. And then the first story was somewhere cold. I don't remember where.
You're getting mixed up because the books and the paint... The books was for Mr. Iqbal.
Oh, sorry. Then no, I'm...
The paintbrush came along at the very beginning.
Okay. Okay, but what about after that? Because I cannot remember for the life of me what the first scene was.
The first scene?
You say thirst scene.
No, no. No, the first scene.
I know.
It's really faded. Like, I don't remember. Because there's a whole bunch of stories that you can't really remember all of them.
And yeah.
So the ones that stand out to you, you kind of remember more. So I don't think it really was anything interesting.
Yeah, but, okay, so this is what I had to say about the first one.
I remember.
What?
The paintbrush painted a whole bunch of, like, music stuff while a song was playing.
What? No, it's something Christmassy, because I thought about Christmas. There was snow on the ground. That's all I remember. Then that's when it occurred to me that we're actually going to have to cover Christmas movies, and I really hope that we can do Christmas movies around Christmas. Also, the beginning, I wish I knew what it was, and I wish I wrote it down. No, maybe it is Johnny Appleseed. Actually, maybe that is the first real scene. Segment. Not much of a scene, is smart. Segment. But it sort of feels like an episode out of a children's show. The whole way it pans out, and the way that, like, a children's cartoon. Well, this is a children's cartoon. But out of, like, Treehouse, I wrote down Toopy and Beanu as an example. The way that the humor works, and the way that they animate the characters walking. I can't describe what exactly it is.
Their walking is like stomping.
Yeah, did you think of that while watching it?
Yeah, I was kind of like,
for some reason, I really think that it resembled a Treehouse show.
I kind of see that
for
now.
All of our listeners not in Canada, that is a children's network.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, that is not in the U.S.
Oh.
Yeah.
They missed out on a lot of Treehouse.
They did.
Treehouse is like the best.
Toopy and Beanu probably sounds so weird if you don't know the context. Yeah. But it looks just like that. And I don't know what did kids watch in the U.S.? Like, what channel was Dora on?
Do they have Disney Junior?
Probably.
Most likely. Okay.
So it sort of feels like an episode.
Okay. I'm just going to talk about one of the... I feel like there was three stories in this. Johnny Appleseed, the...
Cowboy.
Let's get into that.
Oh, sorry.
Bill the Cowboy.
Oh, you remembered his name.
Yeah.
More than I do.
And the pink bird with Donald and...
Yeah, the three caballeros reunite again.
No.
Yeah, it's the three caballeros.
No, it's not the third one. So there's Donald. There's the guy who looks like Jupiter.
Jupiter?
Jupiter.
What are you trying to say?
No, the cricket.
Jiminy?
Jiminy Cricket. And then there's the waiter. He's not the person with the hat on and the two gun pockets. And he's completely different.
Oh, so it's two out of three.
Yeah. So I was just going to talk about that one. That first things, I thought that was the third caballero at the beginning too. Like, what happened to the third one? Second things... It was kind of weird.
I don't even remember the bird one.
So what happened is Donald, and I'm just going to call him, what is his name again?
Which one?
The green guy.
I have no idea. Just call him the green bird.
The green bird with the umbrella. We're walking. They're all sad. And then all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. The cafe de Tango.
Yeah, the cafe of Tango Cafe. Anyways, then he starts making music. And they all start dancing. And this random woman pops up.
I think it's the same woman from last time.
I know, I was thinking that too. Like, why does she keep on popping up and playing random music? And then the birds fall in love with her.
Yeah, it's a very odd thing that keeps happening. I think
it gets annoying.
I would like to tell whoever's in charge to stop, but saying they're probably dead, and this came out, 70 years ago? 80 years ago? 75-ish? I don't know. I didn't even find out which year this came out.
It got really annoying. It did look like the same girl, though.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if it was or just the same outfit.
So I recognized that bird so much. It bothered me. He was like the one bird who loved TNT.
Hmm.
And explosions. And he kept on trying to explode things, the piano or whatever instrument that was. I think it was the keyboard or piano.
Okay. I have something to mention about the first one, which we kind of glazed. What am I saying?
Johnny Appleseed?
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but this was just the... So, of course, we talked about, not in our Percy Jackson episode, but our last Disney review about how Song of the South wasn't on Disney Plus. Also, Victory Through Air Power, but because of all of its racist, I was going to say undertones, but I guess it's just the tone. Uh-huh. But I guess Peter Pan is also an issue with that. their portrayal of Native people, like, it's terrible.
Yeah. No, I think that's more in the Bill one.
Oh, I don't remember which one it is.
Bill's
the
cowboy who was also shooting people.
Yeah. But their skin complexion is very, very red. I know that's a racist thing that they did, and that's why a university in Quebec had to change their... Not university in Quebec. No, maybe in a sports team had to change from the Redskins and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's terrible. Not only that, but they were wearing, I guess it's pilgrims' clothes or loyalists' clothes or whatever it was. But then the only thing that made them, the only traditional, I say in air quotes, piece they were wearing was, like, a single feather on their head. Like, no research went into it.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. Yeah, and it makes me uncomfortable to watch, especially from growing up in Canada and learning so much about the history in elementary school, especially. We haven't talked about it as much in high school, but there's an entire class you can take of just the history of the British and the Aboriginals. Like, oh my goodness.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so that was just a quick segment I wanted to say.
I didn't enjoy watching that either.
It's just uncomfortable now.
Exactly.
But, yeah. So, shall we move on?
Not yet.
No, I'm still saying melody time.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm just so used to saying shall we move on whenever I want to change categories, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay, adding on to the Bill guy, he's the cowboy who had a relationship with a horse and they kissed on the lips. It was really gross.
What?
Yeah.
Was I not paying attention?
No, it was when he was, like, really young, and I don't know, that made me uncomfortable and gross, so. And then later on... What?
I don't think I was paying attention very well. Because some of the things you've been saying, I don't remember. And this now, like, I'm pretty sure I'd remember that.
And then later on, that's why the horse was all jealous. Because either they're just friends and he was jealous, or they like...
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. That was also making me very uncomfortable.
Oh my god, that is this movie all is just of, kind of uncomfortable.
All of the Cowboy Bill stuff made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wrote a few notes about that. Also, like, I didn't pay attention for a minute. Oh, I actually wrote down, didn't pay attention. Well, now we know the issue. I wrote down, didn't pay attention for a minute, and all of a sudden there was a dead man's ghost. It's true, like, I didn't pay attention for a bit of Bill's story. I don't know what I was doing. And then all of a sudden there was a scene where Bill was like, spirit was going out of his body, and he was talking to this like guardian angel cowboy. It's so weird.
Oh no, this is Johnny Appleseed. This is Johnny Appleseed.
Okay, I didn't pay attention for a long time, apparently.
Yeah, so I did not like, and I feel like there's a lot of movies that Disney does where there's a guy falling in love with the girl that all the other guys like the girl.
It's like reverse Beauty and the Beast, the way they portray it.
And they have this long, long falling in love scene.
Oh, the montage. So, how we have spoken about that. I have multiple notes about that.
And all of a sudden,
I do appreciate, I'm pretty sure it was in either the Bill one or the Johnny Appleseed one. In one of them, there wasn't a love scene, and I loved it so much.
Johnny Appleseed didn't have
There was no montage. Oh, yeah, Bill had the weird, like, going into her eyeballs.
Going into her eyeballs and all of a sudden appearing in an ocean, swimming around and diving, and then, like...
Like, there's a different way to say she has ocean eyes. Like, Billie Eilish wrote a song.
And then all of a sudden, he's, like, swimming in sand. It's so weird. He's, like, upside down, banging his head on the sand, pretending to swim. I did not like that story.
Okay, I just want to rapid fire a few tiny nitpicks I have that are not worth talking about that much, but why do they always... Actually, maybe this is worth talking about. Why do they always have to make it human all of a sudden? For Fun and Fancy Free, they have the super unnecessary humans at the end, and this one they had humans for like no reason, and they were only there for like 5 minutes. So just make it animated or make it live action or make it split. Just don't do whatever this 75%, it's not really 50-50, because 50-50 works.
Yeah. They had it with the random girl playing the piano or whatever instrument it's called. I'm sorry if I messed it up. They have it with the cowboy people starting with a story, which doesn't make any sense because the paintbrush did not paint that scene.
Exactly.
There was like a whole song worth of all animation in the desert with the cactus animated. All of a sudden it goes to real life with real life cactuses I see. And I'm like, that's not right.
So pointless.
It is very pointless.
Okay, next rapid fire thing. That wasn't really rapid fire.
No.
But it made a most disgusting noise ever when the wolves were garroling.
Oh.
Rolling into the mountain. Do you know that noise? Like, what was that? Who was engineering the sound? Like, we watched... What was the movie we watched with the dragon? The silent dragon?
The reluctant dragon?
Oh, yeah. The reluctant dragon. That, and you remember how they went into the scene where they went
fighting?
No. Not they went into the scene. In the scene, they walked into the room where Disney made all the noises.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, like, what could possibly be making that most terrible noise I have ever heard?
Yeah.
And it was so much louder than the rest of the movie, too. Like, it wasn't even shouting noise as the rest of the movie. It was above and beyond.
Yeah.
I think maybe our TV broke for a sec. I almost want to fast forward just to that moment, just to see if it was on a different TV, just to see if it was the same.
I think a lot of the noises the humans, the animated humans make are kind of weird. Like, there's the yodeling, there's the random screaming.
Yeah.
It's not human screaming.
How the humans don't talk, but they're like, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. What?
They sound more like a horse, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. That kind of did.
Anywho.
I couldn't. If I were to hear a noise, I could probably mimic it, but I was just throwing out a random noise and hoping it worked. Next rapid fire thing. The weird lovey montage this time.
I already said that.
Oh, yeah. We already talked about her eyes. And the Bill and Sue cowboy story was weird.
Yes.
And that is my last note about this movie.
Same. Well,
we talked about it. It was not very enjoyable.
And I sat there for an hour and 16 minutes just thinking, this is not a good movie. The whole movie is not good.
It's frustrating to watch.
Yep.
With its lack of respectfulness, with its naivety. Oh my goodness.
Weird noises.
It's gross to listen to with its weird noises. It's sometimes hard to watch, which is with its weird animation and walking and the way that humans talk. And it's just... this movie just left a bitter taste in my mouth. Everything was so bitter. But now to talk about something that isn't as bitter, The Adventures of Ichabod and Toad.
Yes.
So as previously discussed, we have both went on I think it's just called The Adventures of Mr. Toad, the ride in Disneyland.
Yes.
You have no memory of it. I have vague memory of it, as in I remember the statue of Mr. Toad in the front lobby.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the fact that you get run over by either a car or a train. Can't remember which one. And I know that
I don't think they had trains back then. But
Wait,
who am I kidding? Of course they had trains back then in the movie. Oh, I'm sorry.
They had cars, too.
Yes, they did. Anywho. Yeah, I actually did. I just did a quick research of it because I didn't really know much about it. And at the beginning, like, I believe some point during it, they bring you through the Toad Hall.
That's what you
were
doing.
They bring you through Toad Hall at some point. And that's really all I really know of.
You don't go into a train. I think it's you go into the car that he wants.
That's, now I really wish I remembered that.
It is cool. I do like Disneyland. What am I saying? Obviously, I, along with most others, enjoy going or seeing and being at Disney World more than Disneyland. I don't think there's much of an argument there, because more the merrier in case of rides and restaurants and
But I do wish that they have that car ride, the car ride in Disneyland.
That's in Disney World.
Oh, it is?
Which car ride are you speaking of?
The one where you go on the track?
Where you design your car?
I believe,
That's a Disney World.
Oh.
I don't think, they don't have that at Disneyland.
I totally remember being on it.
No, Disneyland, they pretty much only have older rides.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's it was the first park, so they have the old Ferris wheel and all that stuff. But they are making some new things because they have, well, we were there, they were building the Toy Story section.
Oh, yeah.
We never got to see it.
That's too bad.
We also have never got to see it at Disney World, even though I've seen a lot of pictures, and it looks really fun.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
And I want to go to Woody's Lunchbox. Anyways.
Okay, so I guess we'll start off with Mr. Toad, because it was the first story in the movie.
Yes. I do appreciate, in this movie, as we were talking about the weird montages, this time, they also, along with... Oh my goodness. Along with having weird love montages, a theme in all these movies is having the either psychedelic or drug-induced or alcohol-induced montages.
Yeah.
Weird tradition that we've spoken of before. I applaud them for not having a weird montage when Mr. Toad... When he gets poisoned, sorry. I was about to say when he drinks, but he doesn't. When he gets poisoned, you know, and it has just shows the eyes. Yeah. All it does is show, like,
that was nice.
Chevron patterns in the eyes. I'm like, hey, we get it. And I'm like, please don't be a montage. But it wasn't a montage. They didn't do that. So that was nice. This is, so the brief plot of this is basically there's this guy and he's a frog and he wants to steal a car. Like, he wants a car and he gets framed for stealing it. And he has to get this deed in order to be, like... In order, because it all happens at a court case, basically, and he needs to steal this deed because the deed shows that he didn't steal it and he rightfully bought it. And, yeah, that's basically it.
And this, yeah, and the person who's framing him is this one guy named...
Who took over his house when he was in jail, and then there's a jail escape. It's actually really interesting, and it actually has a cool plot.
It is a cool plot. At the beginning, it's very... hard for me to understand it.
Yeah, everything happens so quick.
I feel like if you knew the ride and you've been on the ride, it would really help.
Yeah.
Like, for you, you got the plot more and it really came to you. For me, I didn't get it until I kind of, like, searched up later and kind of understood it more.
Speaking of the car and the car crash and how we were saying that, that happens in the ride, I can't tell if it's just for comedy or because they didn't want to animate a stolen car chase. Because they could have gone through all the effort of animating a stolen car chase and having him, like, run from the people and then him getting caught by the police. But instead they had the, like, oh, everything's going to be fine. And then it cuts the screen to newspapers of him getting arrested.
Oh, yeah.
Which I couldn't tell if it's for comedy purposes. It actually made me laugh out loud, which is more than I could say for most of the movies we've reviewed so far.
Uh-huh.
Or they just didn't want to go through the effort. Or it's both. And they came up with a sly way that's funny. In order to not have to animate a car chase.
Yeah. I liked the newspaper thing a lot, actually, though. It was really cool because I liked the sort of vibe with this movie, which was really old.
Yeah.
It was like more of like an older movie with, I don't really know how to explain the vibe it really portrayed.
But old it was just Zootopia.
Yeah, sort of. Another thing to add to this movie proves that this universe, I kind of said, has talking animals and talking humans. This is the first movie with it. I don't know if
this universe
is a part of the Pinocchio, sort of Snow White.
Fancy Free to every movie?
I don't know if this universe is a part of all the other universes where animals had this. But I feel like this Pinocchio also had this as well. So I feel like these two universes are, this is my theory, that they're connected with...
I mean, you're not the first person to come up with that theory.
Yeah, that they're connected.
That's another point you have to bring up.
Yeah. I feel like there's sort of, you know, it's kind of hard to tell because I feel like there's sort of two universes. There's the Snow White with the non-talking animals, and then there's this and Pinocchio with the talking animals.
Pinocchio did have talking animals. We never talked about when we were just doing I've already forgot Melody Time.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the fact, well, we did, about how the girl is in this movie and the three Caballeros, two of them are in this movie. So there's those movies automatically get connected. I don't know if all the segments are in the same universe, but they could be, because I'm pretty sure the Johnny Appleseed and Bill both happened in America, but opposite ends.
Yeah.
Okay, so Do I have anything really more to say about this? I really hope, I for some reason, I have a vague memory of them closing the ride, like, for good and refurbishing it to something else. I know we already spoke about this and at length, actually, about the Princess and the Frog ride, which I'm so happy for. But I don't know if they're redoing that. For some reason, I think that they are. I should should have searched that up before I came here, but...
So, I just, before I was going to talk about the narrator. The narrator in this one was not necessary. I think it was necessary...
I don't even remember there being a narrator.
No, yeah, there is. At the beginning, it showed... It talked about each individual character. It showed each individual character. Then talked about him being arrested. And in many different places, the narrator talked, which I didn't think was necessary. And I didn't think we needed an introduction to all characters. I think the plot... could have said it, sort of, if you get what I'm saying here. And the narrator was just adding extra information that wasn't really needed, but it was nice to see because in the newspapers, for example, you could see him arrested, but the narrator also said it at the same time.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really like that.
The young children that couldn't read, who knows?
I guess, but there's also someone else that could say it to them, and it kind of ruined the vibe there. You know?
Yeah. I do gotta say, this movie is... I love that it's a courtroom thing. I don't think we've had a single court thing in all of this.
Yeah.
And I find that way more interesting than a cowboy chase or whatever happened in the first one. Everything about this movie is just more interesting.
I like how it had a good plot.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Crazy.
Had a good plot. Even though I feel like maybe they could extend it. They could have extended this
They could have just
this
made
movie,
this the whole movie.
Made this the whole movie. Extended it by saying, making... The escape bigger, making them trying to get the paper bigger.
Adding a love interest, making it, like, the trying all the people that are now living in Mr. Toad's house stay, like, how they escape and all that.
Because there's a lot of fast-forward parts. After he was unarrested, we don't know what happened to the guy, if he got in jail.
Yeah, we don't know
what happened. So I feel like if they extend the movie, you know.
And make that all.
That would be real. I think that'd be really good. I personally don't think we needed the Ichabod movie.
Okay, and now is a perfect transition into the Ichabod part.
Okay.
So I find it funny they call it the Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad because it's not an and. It's kind of an or because they never meet and they don't do anything together. It's two separate stories.
Yeah.
They were kind of stretching for names like Melody Time, Fun and Fancy Free. Those are the only ones I'm thinking
Speaking of this title, which is pretty weird, is they have the Adventures of Ichabod first, but Mr. Toad was the first section
of
the movie.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
So I thought at first Toad was named Ichabod.
Yeah.
I thought that too, and all of a sudden they were talking about Mr. Toad. And I was like, oh. I don't know, like, I feel like I should have connected those dots though because it said Mr. Toad. Anywho.
Okay, this may not be the best, but the only written note I have about the Ichabod section is,
only one.
And I quote, started as a love story, ended in a chase with the headless horseman. Notebook closed.
Wow.
That was probably very loud on the mic.
Yes, the beginning, again, they had the girl and the guy falling in love.
Stupid
all the guys.
Montage. Yeah. Oh, they didn't have a stupid montage. But it's the same principle. This is just a weird, weird, weird segment. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I have to mention is the fact that the other guy, I don't know his name, but he looks just like Gaston.
I was thinking the same thing. A little village, his head stuck in a book, his little house separate from other
people. His head is
not
stuck in a book.
Not stuck in a book.
No, the whole point is that Gaston is telling Belle that her head is always stuck in a book.
No.
He hates reading.
I'm talking about Ichabod, how he reminded me of Belle.
What? Okay, you did not understand.
I get how the guy sounds like seems like Gaston, but the Belle's character seemed like exactly like Ichabod. Not that Gaston liked Ichabod. I forget what I'm saying. I'm saying that Ichabod's character reminded me of Belle.
Okay, I don't understand how you see that, and I don't agree.
At the very beginning, he kind of like was said that he was outcasted. It kind of made it sound like he was not really outcasted, but he was odd. And they also said how his
okay.
has he whatever he walks the same
oh,
as
Oh, and the
Belle.
Village thought he was
yeah.
weird.
And it walked the same as Belle with his head
stuck. Okay, like, that makes
a little
more sense.
The whole beginning was them singing with him in a book walking around the place.
Okay, okay.
And then his
that.
Village separated, his house separated from everyone else, too.
Yeah.
So.
But as a whole, this is quite uneventful until the end, where out of nowhere, it's apparently it's Halloween, and then there's a headless horseman, and then he, like, Ichabod goes insane in the forest, and then the guy, the headless horseman, kills him, but they don't know if he's killing him, because the entire town thinks he's dead, but then we get a scene of him, like, alive, but it's, like, it's
yeah.
kind of inferred that that's not a real thing that's happening. Like, the narrator is kind of saying, some believe that he is dead, and they all just go to the funeral. Some believe he married a widow and had a bunch of kids, and then there's a scene of him being married to a widow with a bunch of kids, so...
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
The weird thing about this is they say
it's just the weirdest.
They said it was
ending.
His anxiety.
Yeah,
he was
they
so scared that it was
anxiety.
His anxiety of him imagining it was a headless horseman. But then I guess the whole town was kind of thinking it as a fake tale. That Gaston kind of character, I don't know his name.
And then he saying, randomly marries the girl. What?
Oh yeah. So his plot was Wait, I get it, actually. I actually really get it. So, I finally get it. Okay, it's finally coming to me.
I understand it. I just think it's dumb.
Yeah, so the Halloween thing, he was doing that so he was trying to scare him. I don't know how he thought the guy would die, because he knew the headless horseman wasn't real, but maybe it was in this universe, but the narrator says it's this anxiety that took over.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm guessing it wasn't real, but he was just trying to scare him for them to think. And then I guess after Ichabod disappeared, because they know, you know, he has to go through the forest. He's near the bridge where the headless horseman lives. I guess they all pieced it together that they think that's why he died. So, and then I think, like, since the girl liked Ichabod, then all of a sudden, the Gaston character... She liked him now because Gaston in this movie seemed like he overpowered all the other guys and could persuade them. So it's like, that was confusing.
Okay.
And all of a sudden they got married at the end.
Yes, for some reason, even though the girl showed no signs of liking him. But it's fine. Because women are basically objects in most of these movies. That's not nice, but... I guess you could blame it on the times and where they were in the 40s, even though we believe it is wrong, because why wouldn't you believe it is wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, that is really all I have to say about this movie, honestly.
Yeah, there's a little bit I have to say left about the ending. Such a creepy ending.
It is. It's unnecessarily creepy.
At the very end, they're like, oh, I'm not staying here tonight or whatever, because... There's these narrators talking about and opening random books and talking about the story. And they're like, oh, I'm going to be scared at it or whatever. And I'm just like, oh, wow. This is, don't freak me out. Because I watched this at like nighttime. And I was like, stop. Okay. And then I also looked at the Disney Plus description. And it said it was family. I think the Mr. Toad was family, but the ending of the Ichabod did not seem a family movie.
It's a family.
I'm just imagining like little toddlers watching this, but I don't think that's what they mean by family.
I think that is.
Okay.
your scare level, wow, is that using Monsters, Inc. terminology?
No.
But you get scared very easily, so I don't think that they are looking at you when they are rating the scariness level of a 40s animated Disney movie.
Well, of course, and I don't get scared that easily.
I just
have a fear of spiders. Well, you said.
There were no spiders.
Yeah, I know.
There was a headless horseman. And a slightly creepy narrator.
Yeah, that's what the narrator's tone kind of creeped me out a bit.
Okay.
But I was like, nah. Anywho. The ending was kind of, it wasn't that creepy, but it was a bit creepy.
All right. And that...
It was a bad ending, too.
I think that's pretty much a closure. It was a bad ending.
Bad ending.
So both movies left a bitter taste in your mouth at the very end. One, because it was bitter all the way through, and the other because it was okay, and then it was not okay.
Well, I actually really liked Mr. Toad.
I did too. That's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, I don't think it was just okay. I think it was actually a really good movie.
I don't think it's phenomenal, but
I think they made it a whole movie out of stuff, and it would be a phenomenal
movie. It could have been a Disney classic, but it's kind of a Disney classic. I guess it still is.
Yeah.
I think that wraps it up. I don't have anything more to say about this. So, these weren't technically the movies in order. We didn't speak about this at the beginning.
Oh, right. We forgot.
We did have to skip a few because they weren't on Disney Plus.
It was called So Dear to My Heart, We Had to Skip.
Oh, yes.
These is on Disney Plus.
And I don't know why. I tried finding why it wasn't on Disney Plus, but I couldn't find it. I guess it just isn't. So Dear to My Heart is all I could find. Is that it was released in the 40s at the same time. And it was a real / animated.
Yeah.
Live action, not real, sorry.
Now, let's see what we're doing in 2 weeks.
Okay.
What you guys been waiting for.
Yes. Shall I explain?
Sure, you can.
So we basically just have been doing 2 segments so far. We've been doing the Disney review timeline, and we've also been randomly picking franchises we enjoy and watching every movie in that franchise and ranking it. Let's not do that for the MCU. Actually, let's do that for the MCU.
Okay, let's just continue.
And we haven't really... And often we have polar opposite views on things. That goes without saying. But I think that it'd be interesting to just explore one view and if we were completely thinking the opposite of something. And a lot of these movies we've been talking about so far are gray area opinion movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think that's an actual thing people say, but like nobody, I guess Snow White, but nobody loves or necessarily hates quite a lot of the movies we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But those aren't what I want to focus on. I'm thinking, so the what we're going to do in 2 weeks is talk about my all-time favorite movie, La La Land. But we're going to do it a little bit differently than what every single time, it feels like, over the past few episodes has been. We're doing things a little bit differently this time.
Yeah.
But we are again. And rather than just watching the movie, writing notes about it and talking about it, we're each going to come up with a, not a segment, I guess a segment. We're going to state all of our opinions and back them up and each do like a mini TED Talk. Let's call it that.
Okay.
About our opinion. And we will say our opinion beforehand. Like, I will be voting, I will be explaining why La La Land is a great movie.
And I'll explain, well, it's not the best movie. It's an okay movie.
And regardless of how we actually feel, we're only going to focus of our designated opinions in our segments.
Yes.
So this will be fun.
It will be very fun. Yeah, so we'll explain more of it and how we'll do it in the episode we're actually going to do it in.
2 weeks when we come back.
Yeah.
The future of that segment, which we haven't named yet, what I'm hoping on doing is doing movies out of gray areas. Like, the reason why I picked La La Land, because it is my favorite movie, but also it gets bashed a lot for some reason. I don't know why, but it does. Uh-huh. And so do a lot of movies that get nominated for Oscars, but
we kind of already did an episode like this with Percy Jackson, but we're going to have a different system how we do it.
Well, Percy Jackson was more you knew about it and I didn't.
Yeah.
Not we both knew about it and we're both arguing separate things. So it's kind of like Percy Jackson, not really.
Yes, but we're going to have a big different setup, so it's not going to be like our previous episodes.
Yes.
So we're both really excited for that and I can't wait for that to come.
Yeah, and like I was saying, the future of this segment will be mostly doing movies that have 2 very opposite views.
Yes.
What the next, I don't think this will be the next episode right after La La Land, but Rise of Skywalker, sorry. The Last Jedi, I think everyone collectively doesn't like Rise of Skywalker, but the last...
I liked Rise of Skywalker.
Okay, you are one in a billion.
Thanks.
I could go on for hours about why I didn't like that movie. I didn't like it the second I walked out of the theater, and I still don't like it.
That's the most recent Star Wars film,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct. The one that ends the saga, as the trailer said. We would be focusing on The Last Jedi, because that is truly mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is mixed. And so I guess we'll call it the Reviewing Mixed Movies segment.
I guess. It's a long title, but...
Mixed Movies.
Yeah.
Oh, mixed movies. That's good. That's what
Mixed
we'll be calling
movies.
it. I just
Yay!
decided. All right, and that is a wrap on episode 10. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at imagination_fuel.
Bianca and Sienna signing off.